For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Talking Sass. And thank you guys so much for joining me. Every week I talk about how spectacular my guests are. And this week, no exception, of course. But before we talk about that guest, let's talk about patreon.com/sassystuff. You guys knew that was coming. You know the spiel by now. Starting at only $2, you guys are going to get great, amazing, exclusive content to Patreon only. So make sure you guys go and check that out. And from there, the tiers go up, which get even more exclusive content. So again, check that out. It's patreon.com/sassysteffy. Now, if you want to follow along on Instagram and Twitter, I love new followers. So come hang out with me. It is at sassysteffy on both of those platforms. Now, if you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, don't forget to hit subscribe. And also, if you're on YouTube, don't forget to hit that bell notification so you never miss a second of Talking Sass. And also, if you are listening on your favorite podcast platform, don't forget to rate and review Talking Sass with 5 stars. And also, if you do review, I'd really love to read those on the show. And I haven't had any recently, so make sure you guys go and do that so I have some more cool things to read or say on the opening of the show, okay? Now, on to today's guest. I am so excited. This girl started training at such a young age. She's only 19 now, but she has been labeled a prodigy within professional wrestling. She is the first woman to receive a ticket to the gold for Ring of Honor's women's tournament. And this week, of course, the brackets were announced on ROH, and she's going to be going up against Sumi Sakai, which is definitely a huge, huge match for her. I mean, she's so young in her career, and Sumi Sakai has so much experience, such a lovely person. Both of them are extremely lovely, and I'm so excited to get to talk to her. This here is Roxy. Hey, Roxy, how's it going?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining me. I know we had a little time issue earlier, but we got that all worked out.
You got snapping.
It happens with different time zones and different areas of the world.
Yeah.
Time zones there anyway, but it is. It's crazy trying to book people on Zoom. It's so much easier when you can just do it in person at like a show or whatever. But, you know, right now, I'm in Canada and I can't even cross the border. So no real
interview. Oh, yeah.
But luckily we're at the end of this whole nightmare. At least it seems that way.
So. Yeah, there's like, we're like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly. It's so great. Cause like for like the last, I started 9 months ago. So like 9 months, it's like, so how's it going? What are you doing while you're at home? Because everybody's stuck at home for the most part, unless you live in certain areas of the country. I know they had a little bit more freedom than others, but
yeah, I had to stop and think. I'm like, I'm totally not just sleeping all day.
Me either, but Canada was really hard. In Quebec, we had like a curfew, that's what it is, at 9 o'clock, so like you couldn't even leave your house after 9 o'clock. Like, let's say I wanted to go to the store and get something. Nope, can't do it.
Yeah, but that's how it was in my hometown. I don't live there anymore, but when I was living there, it was like that. Because I know here in Houston, they didn't have a curfew. But in Laredo, they had a curfew. I think it was like, I think it was around like 7 or 8, something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, see, our earliest one was 8 o'clock. So like everything like kind of closed at like 7, 7:30, except for like gas stations and like things that needed to be open for people who had essential jobs. But that was about it. So,
yeah, I'm just upset because the gyms are still not open 24 hours. They still close at like 10. And I'm like, what? Like, they're like, oh, guys, you don't have to wear masks anymore, but it's not open 24 hours yet.
See, you know what I never understood about these curfew things, and especially like a gym. Okay, it's weird to me. Like, you say you don't have to wear a mask, but we're going to close at 10. Like, what, does COVID go out and like party at 10
That's
o'clock?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what? Is it just like, oh, okay, everybody's in their house, let me come out now? Like, what?
Yeah. I never understood that. I'm like, you would, let's say the majority of people anyway in their daily lives are probably not out Monday through Thursday, Sunday through Thursday, maybe, because they have normal jobs or they're going to school or whatever. So you would think there's less likely of a chance of coming in contact with a person who has COVID after those hours anyway. But I mean, I digress, because that would be a whole podcast.
Right. We're like, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about you, because obviously that's why we're here. And like, I've done a little bit of research on you, and I'm just like amazed. You're 19 years old, correct?
Yes.
And you started training at 13 years old. Like, to me at 13, I'm a teenager. I'm going to the mall. I'm hanging out. Of course, I'm watching wrestling at night or whatever, but I'm not thinking about wrestling or training. I mean, I was a cheerleader at the time, but like nothing that I would want to do professionally. In fact, I didn't start wrestling. I was 22, my first match. Wow. I think. So, I mean, there's quite a bit of difference between 13.
Yeah.
And 22. You go through a lot of life changes in that time. So what was it like for you being 13? What made you decide to go into professional wrestling?
I've always wanted to be a wrestler since I was probably like, since I could remember, honestly. I think around like the age of 10, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a wrestler when I'm older. And everybody was just like, okay, sure. Like, my parents were like, it's probably just a phase, but it wasn't. At first, all I knew was like WWE. I didn't know there was an independent circuit. So there is actually a local wrestling promotion in my hometown that I didn't know about, but my stepdad, he was like friends with, I think, one of the wrestlers that wrestled there. And he's like, oh, like, I'll take you to one of the shows. And so we went, and like, I just fell in love with it. I was like, oh, this is so cool. You can actually, like, I can just wrestle in my hometown. Like, I didn't think it was like actually that possible. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I started helping out there. So like, my dad introduced me to like the wrestlers and then like the promoter. And I actually started off as like, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but those people that like go and like get the ring jackets from the ring and then take them to the back. That's what I did at like 11 years old.
Oh,
I
was just that's doing so fun that. Though.
Yeah. And I thought I was the coolest ever for doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, so I did that. And then I started off as a ref when I started training. So when I was about like 11, I would like bug my mom all the time. And I'm like, I just want to start training. Like, can you ask that promoter if I can train with them? She's like, okay, I'll ask. And so she asked, and they were like, oh, she's a little too young. Like, put her into cheerleading or tumbling or something that would help her. And so that's what I did. I got put into cheerleading, which helped a lot. Because they do a lot of like rolls and like a lot of like agility stuff, and that definitely helped me. So then when I turned 13, I was bugging her again, and she's like, okay, let me ask again. So she asked again, and they were like, okay, bring her in. So yeah, I started training with them. My first trainers, their names are George Benavides and Johnny Angel. They didn't let me step into like a ring to have a match until I had like I think a year and a half of like full training where I was just doing like rolls and bumps and like just like perfecting the basics. Mm-hmm. But while I was doing that, I was reffing matches. So I was like a huge fan of AJ Lee at the time. And yeah, like she I used saw to your do
about that.
Yeah. She used to do like she used to like do that thing where they had like that storyline, she like refed matches, and I was like, oh, this would be so cool. So I had like my little Converse on and I made my outfit like kind of cute. And I was like having the time of my life, like just reffing. And yeah, I did that for about like a year and a half. And then I was a part of this team with my trainers called What a Team. And basically we were just all wearing like Whataburger shirts, and we're just called What a Team, and everybody loved it just because they're like, oh, Texas, we love Whataburger. So I was like a manager, so I feel like I kind of like was able to do everything. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helped me like a lot now, because I was able to, you know, I didn't get to like have my first match until like a year and a half, but I was reffing, and then I got to manage, and then I got to like go and take the wrestler's gear and take it to the back and stuff like that. And like it just all made me fall like keep falling in love with wrestling like even more. And yeah, and then I actually stopped wrestling for about a year when I got into high school, because I was like, okay, well, like I can't really like do much with wrestling right now, like mm-hmm. I can't get signed anywhere or anything because I'm 13. When I was a freshman, I joined the junior varsity soccer team, but I was like so busy with that I could never go to wrestling training. So after that year, I just didn't do soccer the rest of my high school years, and I just went back to wrestling. And yeah, I just kept with that, and now I'm here.
That's amazing, because you got to go through all these different aspects of professional wrestling that maybe someone who hasn't doesn't understand. Like for me, a lot of times I was never a referee. I mean, I did it a few times here or there, but nothing like seriously. But like I always respected my referees. Like I always, you know, wanted to get them involved, because in a singles match, you have obviously the two opponents, but that referee is so important in telling your story if you include them.
Yeah.
So, you know, for you to have and understand how important the ref is, especially at such a young age, that to me is like just brilliant on every level. But, you know, did the wrestlers, I mean, obviously you were probably working both male and female matches at that time. Did they respect you even though you were like 13 years old working a match with them?
Yeah, for sure. I actually, when I first started, I wasn't really wrestling girls much. I think I wrestled maybe like one, because there wasn't many at all in my area. So I was just wrestling guys all the time. I was just training with just guys. But my two trainers, I'm like so thankful for them, George and Johnny, because they always took me so seriously since I first stepped in there. Like they could have easily been like, oh, she's a 13-year-old little girl, like whatever. But they took me so seriously, and they didn't treat me any different than they like treated the guys there, which I have always appreciated, because I felt like I would have been such a different wrestler if I hadn't been treated like that. Like I would have been such a different wrestler now. Like they're the reason, I think they're the reason why a lot of the other, like all the other guys took me seriously there, because they were just like, hey, like, she's a girl, but she's a wrestler, and you guys are going to treat her like she's a wrestler. And so yeah, like there was never any disrespect. There's like a few stories just of where like people from like out of town, we're like right by the border, so a lot of the time like some luchadors would come over. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember like one time I was actually a ref, and there is these two luchadors, and they came to me, and I was gonna ref their match. And they were like, hey, like, we're going to do a spot where, like, I forgot exactly what it was, but he's like, I'm going to end up kissing you. And I was like, I'm 13. And he's like, oh, it's okay, it'll be quick. And I was like, what, how does that, where's the logic in that? And I like just went to my trainer and I was like, hey, this happened. And he like stopped that real quick. And I didn't end up like doing that match. Yeah. But he like totally like stopped it. And like, they always took care of me. And yeah, I was super, super grateful for that.
Definitely. Cause I mean, I know we don't have to go into obviously the details, but I know last year when we had the speaking out moment, you had a little thing that you had been involved in. Like I said, we don't have to go all there. We want to be positive here. But like, it must have been hard for somebody. I mean, obviously you're a beautiful lady, you know, so to have all these men that are constantly around you, cause you said, you know, you barely got to work with any women in the beginning of your career. That had to be very difficult being a teenager coming into the business and having to deal with some people like that, which luckily, knock on wood, hopefully we're moving in a better direction now since the speaking out moment.
No, yeah, for sure.
But did you have like, I mean, obviously that moment aside, did you have other issues with males within the business?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I feel like it was mostly like fans, which it's kind of like every time I think about it, it makes me a little sad that it's like, oh, like, yeah, we get all these weird like DMs and weird interactions with like older men. And we just kind of have to like deal with it because, you know, it comes with the business. And I kind of think about it and I'm like, oh, that's kind of sad. But like, it's kind of like it's really important to like be aware of that, especially me getting in so young. Because I think like, honestly, the first like inappropriate message I got from a fan, I was like 14. And I remember, yeah, it was like on my Instagram. And I remember going to my mom and being like, oh my God, like what is this? Like, this is, I just got sent this to me. And she was just like, oh, like she couldn't really like, she didn't really know what to do just because it's like, my daughter really wants to wrestle. But like, this is also a little problem. And it was just like I said, just having like my two trainers when I first started, because they never really left my side. When I first started wrestling, like all those years that I first started wrestling that I was like a minor, they were always there. So yeah, that's like super important. But with like wrestlers, not really. Just like that instant, that instance with, you know, but yeah, it was mostly just like fans, which is like, you know, comes with the business. But
while we're on it, fans, please don't be creepy, especially like younger women coming into the business. Like, it can be much. Like me, I'm a bit older. I wrestled for 12 years and now I've been out for about 2 or 3. So, you know, 15 years of experiencing it, it's like, okay, it comes with the territory. But if somebody's coming in very young and impressionable and stuff like that, just be cool.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, I mean,
I really like, I, when that whole like incident happened, when like the speaking out movement started happening, and then I kind of remembered like what the situation I was in, I was like, I honestly thought about it for a while, and I was like, should I speak out on it? Should I just keep it to myself? And it was like really, really hard, but like what really like kind of made me feel even like sadder was just thinking about all the younger people that I've like met that are like, I want to be a wrestler. And like, I know there's like this 15-year-old little girl, her name's Mia Friday, and she's just starting like to come up in Texas. And I thought about all of that, and I was just like I would never want them to like go through one of those incidents that like I went through, like ever. Like, because like, you know, like these little girls just come into wrestling and all they want to do is just wrestle. And like, they don't even think that something like that could happen. And I was like, you know what? Like, I feel like if anything, like just like sharing my story will just kind of like, it'll just make everyone more aware and kind of help this younger generation that hopefully they won't go through any of that stuff, just because like I was able to like share my story and be like, hey, this happens, like cut it out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was such a big movement for professional wrestling, especially for women in professional wrestling, because I mean, I can't probably count how many times somebody was inappropriate, whether it's fans or other workers or whatever, within my time in the business. And like, I just kind of blew it off because that was kind of what was expected sometimes. Yeah. And that's disgusting to even have that train of thought, but that's mm-hmm. what it was. And now, like I said, hopefully with things getting back to normal, things will be a lot better for women within locker rooms. Oh, but that's
yeah.
You could go off the rails and just talk True. About the inappropriateness. And it's not just with wrestling, it's across the world with everything that women and men, you know, do together. But let's get back talking about wrestling and more what you've done. So you trained with these two guys, George and what did you say?
Johnny.
George and Johnny. So they've trained you for quite a bit of time. And then how did you get involved with Booker T school?
So I actually knew of Booker T's school since forever ago. Like yeah. I said, I was always super serious about it. And I remember there was this time that I was like searching up wrestling schools on like my family computer. And I found Booker T school, and it was like in Houston, which is only like 6 hours from, I say only, but it's about 6 hours from Laredo.
Wrestling, 6 hours, right. Nothing. You jump in a right. car, you're there, you wrestle, you come home.
Right.
No, I totally get it. It's so funny because like, I'll be like, honey, let's go here. And he's like, oh, that's 2 hours away. And I'm like, we used to road trip for like 12 hours one yeah. show and then 12 hours home. What do you mean 2 hours is too far?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 hours. So go ahead.
Yeah. So it was about 6 hours for me. And I called over my mom and I was like, hey, like, look, there's a school and he has fantasy camps. Like, maybe I can go to one during the summer. But when I turn 18 and I graduate high school, I want to move to Houston and start training to become a wrestler at Booker T's. So I had it like planned out, and my parents were just like, yeah, sure, like that's what you want, then that's what you're gonna do. And so yeah, I found that, and then I think like I was just like getting so much more serious about it, like after that year that I took off, I just started training a lot. And then I was like, I have like some time off from school, like maybe I can go and like travel to Houston. My aunt and my uncle actually live here. Well, I say here because I live here now, but they live here. And so I would like travel to Houston on like a Greyhound, and I would go train at Booker's. Like it was during like Christmas breaks and spring breaks. So instead of like going, my friends hated me because like they wanted me to go out with them and go to the beach and stuff. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to training. So yeah, I would go train there. And then eventually I was just like put onto the shows. And yeah, that's kind of how I got started, which is so crazy to me because like, I just remember the time that I like told my parents, oh, when I turn 18, I'm going to start training at Reality Wrestling to become a wrestler. And like at 18, I was making history at Reality Wrestling by becoming their youngest Diamonds champion, which is just like, I don't know, it's very like, it still gives me the chills. Like every time I like just speak it, like actually speak it, because I'm just like, it's so crazy.
No, and it's actually, you're such a great inspiration. I mean, you obviously, we talked about the speaking out movement, and now you're like, hopefully other women don't have to experience the same things that you went through. You're the youngest champion, the diamond champion there with Booker T's promotion. It's like the things that you're doing at such a young age, you're so inspirational, I'm sure, to these girls who do know what independent wrestling is, because now it's a little bit more popular than it was, say back in 2007 when I got started, you know? So, I mean, it's amazing what you're doing at such a young age. Plus, like, it's like you found your passion already when it takes people many years of college to even figure out what job they want to do because they don't have a passion for anything.
Yeah. I always like wanted my, I have like two like best friends that I've stayed friends with since like the beginning of high school. Their names are Hin and Sarah. And like, they're super, super 100% supportive of like my wrestling. They're always at my shows and like cheering me on. And I just always like, I felt like how much passion I had for wrestling, and I just like always just like prayed like I hope they find like that passion for something like something in their life that they're just so passionate about that they want to like, you know, go after something. And I think about it like with my sisters too. I have a little sister, I have two little sisters, and I just always hope like I hope that they find something that they're just like so passionate about, because it's such a good feeling, you know.
Definitely. Like me, I never thought I was going to be a wrestler. And then like, I started ring announcing on accident. And then from there, one of the guys, I started ring announcing everywhere, because at the time only Lillian Garcia was around. And a woman ring announcing was like a total novel thing, you know?
Yeah.
So like one guy was like, why don't you wrestle? And I was like, holy man, that's a great idea. I thought of it. And then like, as soon as I took my first bump, I was like, oh my God, I love this. This is amazing, you know? So it is, it takes people different times to find their passion. And, you know, sometimes you find it, luckily like me, accidentally, but I mean, for you to have it at such a young age is amazing. And let's talk more about that, because I mean, you've had so many wonderful opportunities, including, I mean, you've wrestled at 19 years old, you've wrestled people like Jazz, Sue Young, Priscilla Kelly, who's obviously in WWE now, Kylie Rae, Kimberly, Deonna Purrazzo. I mean, these women all have like such great histories behind them already. Some of them haven't been in long, but Jazz, who's been in for 20 plus years, you've wrestled. I mean, these aren't like small names that you're going up against. These are some of the, all the women, in fact, that I named are on TV currently.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it's always been so crazy to me. I feel like every time I was given like this type of opponent, I was just like, it was just like a moment where I was just like, wait, like, it was just always a moment where I was just like, wait, like, this is weird. Like, I'm wrestling Jazz. What? But yeah, I think like I give like super big props to like the promoters, because they're kind of the ones that are like believing in me that I can actually, you know, they could trust me with someone like that. Mm-hmm. Like Deonna Purrazzo and like Jazz, and how you said like Kylie Rae, and like but it kind of also proves that like I am able to kind of wrestle at their level, and like just because I'm, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, however old I am, like I can go up against people like Jazz, Kylie Rae, Deonna.
Well, I mean, this is obviously why you have the name The Prodigy in front of
your. Yeah.
So let's talk some more, because another great opportunity that you have is you were the first woman to receive a ticket to the gold for ROH Women's Tournament. And I mean, that was after a tag match where Maria Kanellis said that you stuck out compared to everyone else in that match. I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest compliments.
Yeah, yeah. I used to watch her like on TV when I was younger. So it's just like, even just like the first time I like went to Ring of Honor and I just saw her, I was just like, she is a god.
Amazing.
She's so beautiful.
She is.
And so confident, like, so, like, I don't know, her energy is just, like,
I wrestled her once, too, when I was in Ohio, and, like, I sat, I think, I can't remember if it was before or after the match, after we were done, and, like, we talked about, like, everything she had done business-wise, not just wrestling, but like behind the scenes and like working for like Celebrity Apprentice and stuff like, and she does not get enough credit for how extremely intelligent she is as well. Like, we're so used to the little ditzy character kind of on WWE, and then you see her progressing now into this more intelligent character as she goes along, but like, she's brilliant.
Yeah, and she's a mom. I'm like, and she's a mom, and she does all this stuff with Ring of Honor. I'm like, she's amazing.
Yeah, I had her on the podcast recently. I was like, how do you balance all your time? And she's like, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not like, because I remember like when I was in like high school and I'd be doing these podcasts and people would be like, how do you handle everything? Like, how do you do like school? And I was also taking like college classes, mm-hmm. and like balancing like friends and wrestling and all of that. And I was like, I really don't know.
Yeah, you like, just kind of got to go through with it. Like,
you just like,
you just do it. Like, when I was wrestling, I remember when I was in Ohio, I had two jobs. Plus, I was wrestling on the weekends. Plus, I was training on Wednesdays and Sundays with my trainer, which was 2.5 hours away one way. So it's like, you just really don't think about it. You just kind of go through your own motions and hope that, you know, everything lines up perfectly and you get enough rest the night before.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I got the first ticket to gold, which was amazing. I feel like that's another like really big moment, just because it was like, okay, I was the first match to like the rebirth of the women's division, the Ring of Honor women's division. Yeah. And then I got the first ticket to gold to like their tournament, the first women's tournament. And like, it was just like very crazy to me, because I was just like, wait, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm still like the same little girl in like my room, like making out drawings of like gear and like characters and names. And like, now I'm just like, wait, this is actually like real. Like, I actually have to like stop and kind of like soak it all in and be like, hey, like, this is real. This is actually happening. Like, everything you like actually dreamt of when you were like 10, 11 years old, like, it's actually like real. This is happening.
And this is only 8 years later. It's not like 25
years. Yeah.
That's what it's like. Your own destiny.
Yeah. It's really crazy. But it's just like, it makes me so happy, because like, I'm so happy where I am right now. But I know that this is only like just a certain part of my story. Like deep down inside me, I know that I have like so much more.
Oh, definitely. I can tell, like, the matches that I've seen on YouTube, I obviously follow you on Twitter and Instagram as well. Like, the way you handle yourself at 19 years old, I definitely wasn't handling myself. Thank God social media wasn't like as big as it is now back then. So it's like, it's amazing to see like your progress. And like, I had on Izzy Mania not that long ago, and obviously she has a different route than what you've been going. But like, she's 13 years old right now, had her first match at 11. And now, you know, she's doing like Muay Thai and kickboxing and all these things. She's going about
it. She's awesome.
But it's like, it's so crazy. Cause like, when I broke into the business, I'm not trying to make this about me, but just kind of, you know, relating.
Yeah.
Like, we had Ring of Honor, and of course we had WWE, you know, but Trish Stratus and Lita were around at that time, so we were getting better matches, just not like what we're getting now, like with Bayley and Sasha and Charlotte and everybody that's amazing in WWE. And then you have the Impact Knockouts, you have Ring of Honor women's tournament going on, you have the NWA women's tournament coming up as well.
So it's much like, wrestling.
It's great, because like,
you didn't know
that back then. And I mean, like, I had people that I looked up to, like Cheerleader Melissa, you know, Allison Danger, Daisy Hayes, people like this. And it's like, now you guys that are coming into the business have so many more people that you guys can really look up to. And now you are going to be somebody that somebody else is looking up to. Like you already said, there's a couple of young girls that were looking up to you, you know. It's amazing. Like, God, I'm so jealous of what you guys have now.
I just think it's so cool, because especially like how you were saying, there's so much wrestling, and I feel like before there wasn't, so there was like very little women, and you saw like all the male wrestlers, that they were just like, there is just a different type of wrestler, like every male wrestler, and then it was just the woman, they were just like in this box, and it was just like, they had to be this way, They just had to be this way. And now it's like, literally, there's so many women that you could just be whatever you want. And like, there's so many, like, it gives like a younger generation so many more opportunities, because they can like kind of look up to it and be like, oh, look, like, there's so many different types of women dressers. I can be this now. Like, it's really cool.
Well, like, just going and saying that, like, probably when I was 13, I mean, I don't remember exactly who was on TV, but there was a lot of bra and panties matches. There wasn't women's wrestling. So maybe the reason why I didn't get into women's wrestling as much until I was in my 20s was because of that reason. You know, seeing real women's wrestling, you occasionally have a breakout match here or there. But I mean, most of the time it was these silly gimmick matches, but still iconic in their own way in the Attitude Era, but not knocking them because they obviously have some athletic ability, of course, to be on TV doing those kind of things. But it's just like, now the athletic ability that the women have and are able to show and possess, and the characters, like you said, that they can develop into whatever they want to be.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, clearly my favorite wrestler was AJ. I kind of like, because so at first, the first ever like WWE diva that I was like, oh, she's so cool, it was Kelly. I thought she was like so gorgeous, and she was just so athletic, and she was just like amazing, but I couldn't really like connect with her. There's just something that I was just like I can't be like her. Mm-hmm. But she's cool. And then I saw AJ, and like, she just had like this whole like tomboy persona, and like in her promos, you could tell that like the way she was talking was like, I have wanted this for so long, and like, now I am a WWE diva. And it was like, it's so cool, because like, that kind of is like what connects you to like wrestlers, is like, oh, like, they're just like me, and they achieve their dreams, so can I. And I feel like we just need a lot more of like those types of people. That way, like, the younger generation can kind of like be inspired and be like, oh, well, I could do it too.
Yeah, definitely. And like, you know, like we said, the amount of women's wrestling just on TV, I'm not even talking about the independent leagues, you know, that are out there, independent companies rather, out there, like Shimmer. I mean, they're just basically on DVD right now. And I mean, you can't really find them on YouTube because Dave Prazak doesn't want that to happen. So it's like, just the women on TV, like, it's so inspirational to see. I mean, I didn't mention AEW's women's division either. Like, Britt Baker's obviously killing it. Thunder Rosa on NWA and on AEW, killing it. I mean, these women are just knocking it out of the park. And like, I have like nothing but respect for every woman out there, because obviously I've been a part of it, but like, what they're doing right now is just on a completely different level than what I did when I was my first match, which is right here, this area here, you know, 2007. It's just crazy. The difference.
Would you ever come back?
I would, but I'm pregnant with my second kid now.
Oh, so congrats.
Thank you. So the likelihood of me coming back is probably very unlikely. If I could do a spot show here or there, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
But well, if you come probably back, unlikely.
It's probably unlikely, but let's talk some more about the women's tournament, because obviously it's coming up very soon. And I wrote down, I have 14 out of the 15 names of the people in the tournament. So I don't know who I'm missing, but I mean, you have so many great, amazing women. You have up and comers. You have these women who have been around, like Angelina Love, again, 20 plus years. You have Allison Kay, who has been in pretty much every major promotion that there is. You have Mandy Leon, who has been a part of Ring of Honor for many years. You have Nicole Savoy, a former Shimmer women's champion. I mean, this has got to be intimidating for somebody who is, I mean, you're not obviously just coming into the business, but, you know, to be coming into a tournament with these women of so much talent. I mean, Sumi Sakai, Holly Dead, Marty Bell, Willow Nightingale, Alex Gracia, Miranda Elise, Trish Adore. I mean, these names are just amazing to be a part of.
I feel I feel confident. Just because, like, I feel as if, yes, like, I am way younger than all of these women, but I feel like I've worked just as hard. And I feel like a lot of times, like, people, because I know, like, when they announced me for the Ring of Honor tournament, there was a lot of, like, people that were like, oh, she's been able to, like, get so much success in such a short amount of time. And I'm like, well, not really. Like, I started when I was, like, 13, and, like, it was kind of hard just because I was, like, I was so serious about it, but I got a little impatient just because it was like, well, nothing can really happen for me right now, because, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be 18. Yeah. So now that, like, these things can actually happen, I'm just, like, putting my 100% into it, because I'm like, okay, like, I've been working for so hard, and, like, now I'm going to show everybody that, like, I have been working for so long, so hard, and, like, yeah, I'm going to show everybody that in this tournament.
That's great. You know what? I have a lot of friends in this tournament, but just sitting here talking to you and getting to see the passion that you have at such a young age, I really hope that you can go all the way with this, because I
thank you.
An inspiration to, you know, maybe people who are still in the business who don't have the passion that you do, to maybe, you know, relight that fire under them. And then the younger girls or people that maybe haven't even caught on to wrestling yet, you know, maybe this is the first time they see women's wrestling on, you know, this tournament, Ring of Honor's women's wrestling tournament. And you inspire them in that way. Like, I just wish you the ultimate best in this, because I can feel it, even though I'm in Texas and I'm in Canada, I can feel it, you know. And that's something that a lot of people don't have, you know. Like, a lot of people say it's that it factor, and I feel like you have that just from talking to you, and I feel like you're going to develop that even more, and it's just a matter of time before you just break through the universe and just show everyone everything you have.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's start wrapping this up. Why don't you tell everyone your social media, where they can find you and what you have coming up soon, besides obviously the women's tournament.
So yes, I have the women's tournament coming up. My social media, my Instagram is _ROKC. My Twitter is @BRoxy_. And then my Facebook is @BeRealRoxy. I also have a YouTube channel, which I need to get better at posting on there, but I have a couple of matches on there. It's just Roxy, ROK-C.
Awesome. You have been such a delight to have on. And once again, all the best of luck in your career.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Until next time, guys.
Bill Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, talking here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my...
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect is?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found a true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think, I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion. You know?
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it.
Did Heenan have anything to do with it?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is this, that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.